Okay, we've already discussed and talked about walking in the power of God and ministering to other people through the gifts that He gives us. I'd like to share some things with you about how this could really glorify God and how God expects us to use His supernatural ability. There's so many scriptures on this, I'm just going to have to touch a few. But for instance, Matthew chapter 9, in verses 1 through 8, there's an instance there about how Jesus healed a paralytic man. I'm going to deal with that a little bit more in detail in Mark chapter 2. But it says in Matthew 9, 8, that when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Did you know that the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, glorify God? And that's the reason that God gave that miraculous ability to us. When you start sharing with other people, there's a natural tendency for people to doubt and to begin to question, well, how do I know that what you're saying is true? I heard T.L. Osborne one time, a very famous evangelist who's led literally hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord, discuss when he first went on the foreign mission field. And he was trying to witness to people, and people just weren't believing what he said. And finally, one day he was talking to a man, and he says, "But the Bible says..." And he says, "What makes the Bible, what makes your black book any different than my black book?" And he was talking about the Quran. And so T.L. Osborne, when he saw that, he says, "Well, yeah, how do these people know that the Bible, I've got faith in the Bible as the Word of God, but how do I convince them?" And he actually left the mission field defeated and discouraged and came back home and began to seek God. And the Lord told him that you have to use the supernatural ability of God. Signs and wonders are for the purpose of validating the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to change people's lives. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says that you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the Word of God that lives and abides forever. So God's Word is what changes people's lives. But how do you get people to believe that this really is God speaking to us? Well, that's the purpose of miracles. When we preach something and say that it's God's will for a person to be healed, and then we demonstrate it by speaking over a person in the name of Jesus, and when we see their blind eyes open and their deaf ears open, then that validates that this is God. Now, those miracles themselves aren't going to change people, but those miracles will cause people to believe that the word you've spoken was the Word of God. Let me give you a scriptural example of that. Over in Mark chapter 2, is a further detail on this paralytic who was healed. And it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, that he was in Capernaum, speaking of Jesus, after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Jesus shared God's word with them that would change their life. In verse 3 it says, "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.' But there were certain of the scribes sitting there which reasoned in their hearts, 'Why doth this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only?' And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, 'Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say unto the sick of his palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk?'" You know, the truth is, both of those things are impossible. It's impossible for a man to forgive sins. It's also impossible for a man to heal another person of paralysis. So technically, they were both impossible. And so if God could do one, well, then he certainly could do the other. And so he said in verse 10, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." So Jesus made it very clear. He said, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the sick of the palsy. He produced this healing so that people would know that if he could do the physical things, and if things that they could see with their physical eyes could happen at his word, well, then also the spiritual things, such as the forgiveness of sins, could also take place. Jesus used miracles to validate his word. This exact same thing is said in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2. Let me read this passage to you. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning with verse 2, it says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" It says that God here confirmed this word by the power of the Holy Spirit. You put this together with Mark chapter 16, and it says, I believe around verse 20, that He worked with them and confirmed the word with signs and wonders following. So the point that I'm making through this is that God wants you to use His supernatural ability and power to minister to other people. And He uses these miracles that take place through the gifts of the Holy Spirit to confirm to people that it's Him actually speaking to them. Ultimately, He wants people to be set free in their hearts. But you know, sometimes the way you get to a person's heart is through their body, through their emotions. If you can deal with those areas and see a person set free, then they'll open up and allow the Lord to touch the rest of their life and literally commit their entire being to the Lord. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he was telling them about how he first approached them, and here's what he said. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." So he made it very clear that the reason he didn't come just emphasizing words and using words only, but he used demonstration and power. He said, "I did this so that your faith would stand in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man." Christianity has wonderful logic to it. Once you see the truth, it makes you wonder how you ever missed it and why everybody doesn't embrace it. But you know what? Christianity is not only logic. Christianity is a real experience with a real God. And He's alive today, and He's wanting to manifest Himself in power exactly the same as He did in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus came, and He was a man approved of God among us by signs and wonders and miracles. That's what it says in Acts 10:38. He had His word confirmed, and those miracles rang like a bell to draw people to His message. It glorified God. Many places it says that these miracles glorified God. And if Jesus had to use the power of the Holy Spirit to minister and to change people's lives, how do we think that we can do better than what Jesus did? If Jesus drew on miracles to draw people to Himself and to receive His message, how can we possibly think that we can convince a world today without operating in this supernatural power of God? I tell you, the truth is, miracles glorify God. Miracles are a bell that draw people. It's like ringing the dinner bell. It's the food that's going to set you free, but that bell gets your attention. And without the bell, some people are going to miss the meal. Without the miraculous power of God, many people are going to miss out on the fact that God is real and that He can change their heart and forgive their sins. And so I encourage you that God wants to flow through each one of us and work these miracles through us and other people's lives. Some of you may say, "But that intimidates me. What happens if I pray for a person and they aren't healed? How do I know that this is going to happen?" You need to recognize it's not you doing the miracles. It's God doing it. You don't take responsibility if the miracle works and if the person gets set free. And you don't take the blame if it doesn't work. You just do the praying. God's the one that does the healing, but He has to flow through you. So I want to encourage you. God wants to use you in miraculous ways. You need to get into God's Word. See how it worked for other people. Apply those things in your life and let the miraculous, supernatural power of God start flowing through you today.